Welcome. This is Beyond the Here and Now, and I'm your host, Antonia Lau. And this is the show that will take you a moment to wrap your heads around new thought, new thinking, new ideologies than you've been taught to think and to believe about yourself, the world around you, and your place in it. Today's topic, we're going to talk about star seeds and their finding their way through the wealth of knowledge from galactic astrology, finding where their source was from and part of what their missions are here on Earth. Later on, I'll have my guest, Graham Forskett, who is a galactic astrologer, and he'll tell us more about that principle. But when it comes to astrology, it has always astounded me how we can look at the planets and say, oh, my sign is this or my sign is that. And that's very basic. That's like a kindergarten astrology, I call it. But there are great levels. There's esoteric astrology and spiritual astrology, advanced astrology and evolutionary astrology, as well as galactic astrology. They all look from different perspectives, sidereal, Vedic astrology. But the average person only knows about this one choice. But you come to an astronomer and they look at the planets like it's a rock. They measure it, its rotation, its size, its temperatures, its axial levels, and that's it. And I think that's interesting that they won't allow themselves to go past that box or past that thinking and stay within that guideline. Because you see, everything on the planet has gradients of vibratory rate that maybe we're not all able to see or feel, but exists despite whether scientists state that they are. Now you look at the sun, for example. The sun is millions of miles away. Yet on a cold winter day, you can feel it on your window, and the window will be warm, still that far from the sun's rays beaming down on the glass. Or you can be in the southern hemisphere in the hottest summer, and your feet can't walk on the pavement because of the heat from the sun millions of miles away. So it's not just the physical properties that those planetary bodies or cosmic bodies have on our planet and on humankind. It has a full measure of mind, body, and soul impact and a vibratory level. In fact, Edgar Cayce states that through the soul's cosmology, we incarnate after staying on several different planets for their studies, and each of those planets has vibratory rate levels or dimensional levels that are different. Now, if we're looking at them through a scope that is only a 3D technological instrument, we're not going to see those other dimensional levels that still exist. So we cannot, just because it's not seen or it's not discussed, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So we need to look further and expand their thinking. So every planet, every asteroid, in fact, throughout the cosmos, we are stardust. We're part of all those concepts, and they vibrate through us fully, mind, body, and soul. So we can't just look at the superficial physical level. We have to look at the greater metaphysical spiritual level of all these heavenly bodies and how we're entwined. And we'll do so today with my guest, Graham Forskett. Galactic Astrology Academy is his website, and he'll tell us more in just a moment.
You know, the heliocentric astrology, sun-centered astrology, the ephemeris is for determining where the planets was just coming out. The sacred geometry and the golden ratio, which is the underlying template for sacred geometry. So I was putting all these things together and having these lucid experiences at the same time. And of course, I was using my own chart. I was drawing it up from the geo perspective, from the sun perspective, and I could see that in the theosophists' terminology, where they were talking about the different levels, the different initiations, and the different dimensions, etc., etc., I could see how by what I was doing and how I was applying the research and study and the meditations, etc., how I was actually shifting my own consciousness from the geo chart, my personality chart, into the helio chart, and I was beginning to become more familiar and becoming to represent that part of myself by because of the different positions of the planets in that sun-centered chart, I could tell I was actually beginning to live that out.
Hmm. So you were aware of it in your own use and your own observance, and that's what tends to happen. Most people don't observe. They're too busy being wrapped up in the mundane or daily, you know, existence. But I like the fact that you took that perspective. And so can I ask what you said you found yourself changing from that new perspective? And that's really all it is, that broadened awareness, and it brought you things. It's interesting because Edgar Cayce, as I mentioned earlier, Edgar Cayce knew that this or was a guided or shown that the soul of the man we call Jesus, the Christ of consciousness, was actually from the planet or the star system of the Arcturus. So it's an interesting quality, that, and he says that most souls that are here to help benevolent beings, many of them, not most, but many of them, are from Arcturus. And people aren't even aware of that planetary existence, let alone knowing that the soul that they have lauded and applauded or not, comes from that source.
I've found many examples of souls from Arcturus. I've just drawn a chart today, for example. And in fact, the next couple of days, there is an astro alignment or connection to Arcturus. Many famous people have shown this in their chart, that they have an astrogenetic connection. So I can see it in their chart, in the day they are born, and in the planetary positions. And knowing where Arcturus is, I can juggle things around or position things on the actual chart and reveal that the genetic side of it, the etheric Akashic level of the genetics, is tuned to Arcturus.
Mm.
Many others are tuned directly to the galactic center.
Ah.
So in a way, sorry.
Go ahead, please.
Most of the charts that I do, or my approach to the galactic astrology, uses the galactic center as the frame of reference, and everything sort of starts from there. And this is how in theosophy and some of these esoteric schools, they would say that our oversoul or our higher self or our monad, different words,
For
same thing. That part of us is actually there at the galactic center. There is a resonance, an energetic construct, whatever you want to call that, which is already kind of there in a sense. I've been able to determine through my own experience observing, this is like over three decades, so I've been able to pinpoint days ahead of time when the galactic center will say something, will reveal something, and I'll see it coming and prepare for it, and it keeps happening year after year.
And that's so on an individual basis as well as you're seeing in those changes for the world, yes?
Many famous people who have contributed it and changed the timeline for humanity have been born on specific golden ratio aspects, which is the genetic aspect, lined up or tuned into the galactic center.
And for those that may not know, everything on our planet is based on the golden ratio, the Fibonacci sequences, but they don't realize that. We're not taught all the time in our schools or our systems, and it should be. But everything is using that guideline, including this sequence of how you're watching the planets or all the planets of the universe affect us here on the planet Earth.
This is absolutely the case. The research has been done. It's 99.7% accurate. The distance out from each of the planets from the sun, the distance out to each one is based on the golden ratio. Mm-hmm. The speed of each planet going around the sun are in relationship to each other in the golden ratio. And the orbital velocities, the revolutionary periods that each planet takes to go once around the sun, they are connected also with each other in the golden ratio. So the whole thing really is just one golden ratio construct, an angelic being, basically.
And a divine, it sounds like a divine symphony as well. Everything is orchestrated. It works properly the same way that organs in our bodies and cells in our bodies work. It works throughout the universe. So it just expands from the microcosm we see to what is the macrocosm. It expands and mirrors itself out from us as well. So
absolutely.
We are just parts of that whole.
And to bring that concept of as above, so below, or as below, so above,
yes.
into this, the latest research on the DNA molecule and the DNA helix, that is based on the golden ratio as well. So the structural framework itself is the etheric foundation that people like Steiner and that are talking about. So we can see, we can use that, apply that. In this case, we can apply that structural element, the sacred geometry, and put it in there, and then that determines the Akashic or the etheric or the instantaneous interactions over any distance, as the physicists are beginning to prove.
So on a level that the audience can clarify or clearly see, I like the fact that you're doing people of note are famous for creativity or for major contributions to society. You're finding some sort of similar qualities in them. So can you tell me where you're noting? You mentioned Arcturus, a lot of them are coming. Other places that you're noticing that they're coming from?
Well, yes, many are coming from Pleiades, Sirius, Aldebaran even, and Antares.
Mm-hmm.
At least those, a few other places. Many of them, what happens is their birth date, they've selected their birth date because they want the planets to be in certain positions, because the planets, the etheric level and the interactions between them hold the resonances of the archetypes, the skills that they've already mastered in their own social environments, wherever they've come from. The skills that they've mastered have stored in the frequencies of each of the planets. So they want to have access to the skills that they've already mastered so that they can make use of them, you know, on the planet here. So unfolding themselves, a person unfolds their development, and bit by bit they access these skills and then they apply them.
So these skills, you're saying their talents or their abilities or those skill sets we bring for the planet to lead the world better than we came, they actually have where you actually said that they came from those schools originally and brought those skill sets into this incarnation. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. There's, like in normal astrology, there's perhaps like a dozen planets to utilize.
Yes.
But we've included as many asteroids as we can, and there's thousands of asteroids. And there's been a dozen or so new planets discovered outside of Pluto in the last decade. So these new planets outside of Pluto represent the new humanity. Neptune, which is just inside of Pluto, Neptune is well known to be the crown chakra, where the polarities of yin and yang, feminine, masculine, are integrated. Hmm. So these new outer planets are even beyond that. These are the new archetypes for the new humanity. So each one of those has a character, has like skills or key words that go with these archetypes, useful archetypes. And the asteroids as well. There's asteroids named after famous composers, famous astrologers, famous writers, in places like Atlantis, Poseidon, in these places. They all have asteroids, so we can pinpoint really clearly what skills a person is bringing with them into this incarnation. And in many cases, well, a number of cases, we can pinpoint exactly where a person might have had past lives, because many starseed began to arrive way back 20,000 years ago in late Lemuria and part of Atlantis. So we can pinpoint past life experiences and what people were doing in those past lives as well.
So ultimately, Casey states that the soul enters each incarnation on the Earth planet through the North Star or the Pole Star, and during the time of Egypt, they entered through what was called Tuban at the time. And now they're coming through Polaris, and they will, after this next change, be coming through Vega, I believe. So do you...
This is the North Pole of the Earth. As the precession happens, the Earth's wobbling a little bit. And the North Pole of the Earth, the geographic North Pole, creates like a circle in the pointing out into the sky. So, as you say, in the past, in the Egyptian era, it's pointing to Thurban, which is one of the main stars in the Draco constellation. Yes. So you have the Draco influence, the reptilian influence.
I see.
And then, as you say, in the future, it'll be pointing to Vega, which is one of the stars in the Lyra constellation, which is pretty close to the, or aiming or looking towards the galactic center. You would wave to Vega as you're heading towards the galactic center, you pass it by. So these are, as you say, they're like major influences where portals are opening, so different sets or different groups can have more easy access to get here.
So now that's the Earth beings. Now I'm going to ask, do you notice where other beings off planet, off from this planet throughout the multiverse, that they're coming from as well? Like you mentioned, the Lyrans, the Syrians. Do you notice other galactic beings coming from other points as well?
Yeah, my research for over three decades has spent as much time studying astronomy and the multidimensional aspects of reality, studying that side of it and exploring it in lucid experiences. So what I've come to realize is that it was only around about 1937, I think, that the galactic center was pinpointed, discovered. And then from then on, we developed a better understanding of our galaxy, and then you've got other galaxies, and then you've got clusters of galaxies, and then you've got superclusters of galaxies, et cetera, et cetera. So a modern way of saying the multi-universe, the multi-dimensions, other parallel universes, in the past they would have called our galaxy a universe. So another universe could be another galaxy. So as well as including stars and solar systems within our galaxy into astrology, it's just as easy to there is a map of where all the other galaxies are and so forth. So what I've been able to do is over the years plot where these galaxies are. Well, the plotting's already been done, but I've taken the maps that the astronomers have photographed in visual and radio waves, etc., etc., and they have provided maps of where these other galaxies are. So I've overlaid those maps with the sacred geometry of the genetics, which is a golden ratio decagon. And I've been able to show that galaxies unfold through like a helical, it's called a, nowadays they call it Birkeland currents. So they unfold in a certain pattern, which is the same as our own genetic pattern. So the birthing process is a repeated across scale, larger to smaller. And in some cases, some people are directly lined up on their birth date with the Andromeda galaxy. And in other cases, they've birthed on a certain day which is lined up with the central galaxy in our local cluster called M87. So we can then pinpoint that a person is coming from another galaxy or another universe or another complete framework. After all, the entire storyline of the Lurian, Acturian, Surian, Vega genetics is all just one small neighborhood in the Milky Way galaxy.
Yes. Yes. So you find on planet Earth, what is the preponderance, or what's the largest majority of souls incarnating as star seeds at this time? Where are they coming from?
Well, they seem to be fairly evenly distributed between Pleiades, Sirius, Arcturus, and then a little bit less from different areas of Orion, the Rigel star system, and then the Orion belt stars, as many there. And then Antares would probably be the next, and then lesser number from the Andromedan galaxy. And there's some from perhaps there's a couple of stars in the constellation of Andromeda within our galaxy. And I find a few people there as well. And some come from Venus. This is the Ra group and their sixth density group, which is the same as the level of the Acturians. So there's some incarnating from Venus. Although, if you read the raw material, which is a pretty good channeling, it was done in the early 80s. And I don't know whether it's been surpassed since then. And they say themselves that their collective had moved into what they call sixth density, which for many people might be the sixth dimension or different phrases for that. But they live in a complete non-physical reality. They are basically all beings, but they live as a collective, and they have their own collective orb plasma spaceship, if you like. They've left Venus. They don't have legs and bodies, so they don't need to stick on the surface of a planet anymore. And a number of them have volunteered. Starseed as well.
The interesting thing is what you're saying is, even just on the point of Venus, Edgar Cayce confirms Venus has six dimensional levels. So it's an amazing correlation between the two. And when I saw that in your work and your postings on your Facebook page, as well as through your website, and tell the audience, please, your website again, so they will be able to look as well.
I have a couple of websites. The one on astrology. And there's a lot of information there that helps astrologers as well. Mm-hmm. It's galacticastrologyacademy.com.
Okay.
So there's that side of it. But I have other interests, and I have another website, unifiedfractalfield.com, which is my research into subquantum phase space mechanics and space-time fabric and the physics of that, astrophysics. Cosmogenetics, plotting the cosmogenetic family tree of stars, galaxies, clusters of galaxies, and showing how it's all based on this golden ratio, and doing it in a way which, when you look at it, I mean, I'm really just adding over the photographs actual geometries to show that they're there, all right. We just needed to look at it with through our etheric eyes and plot these, you know, using the...
So many of us are star beings, literally.
Yes, well, in the Ra material and in the Theosophists, when we've fulfilled ourselves through the dimensions, which in some cases range up to 7, in some cases range up to 12, when we've fulfilled ourselves through there, we've become the Oversoul. The Oversoul has matured and become its fullness. And then once the Oversoul, with its many souls out there doing things, experiencing in different places, once all that has merged back to its complete Oversoul selfness, that Oversoul selfness combines with other complete Oversouls. And then they get to go on and do other things like create planets and soul systems.
Yes.
Whatever that is, you know, that's beyond my... But I can get a sort of an image of it.
I always tell my clients, Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, Muhammad, Moses, they're still working on stuff, and we've got a long way to go. I understand that humans are, or from my research, humans are at third level of evolution, two under us, and this third level in third dimensional area. And then there are beings in the 11th dimensional level in this particular galaxy. That includes everything in Laniakea or that system, or outside of that as well. But what I notice is these concepts aren't even talked about or discussed. And I'm thinking, you don't even know where you're from or what your purpose is, and that there are other beings that exist outside of self. So I find that Earth beings tend to be a little arrogant, thinking that they're the only people or beings that might exist. And yet we're beautifully coming in a nice consensus. Once we get to the planet, we all look human, but we have these different gradients, like you said, from different schools that we're bringing in to the consensus to uplift it or raise it at this time of evolution. And I was also, through my research years ago, found that Earth herself has her own planetary soul, as all planets have their planetary soul. And when literally they talk about sons of God, or suns, it could actually be suns. So if we work through our evolutionary levels, we too can become planets and suns, ultimately, as we keep evolving. So are you finding that as well through this evolutionary studies of like the dimensional levels that you've seen?
Yes, well, I mean, this is true. I mean, if if the golden ratio and the template and the physics or the astrophysics and the realm of the energetic efficiency that the golden ratio entails, then it makes perfect sense that if we want to find a more advanced being or a more advanced scenario, then we need to use that as our template. It is the template for superluminal teleportation in the realm of superluminal physics. So we need to, well, not need to, but if we want to explore that area, yes, then we can take better, we can have a better look at it if we understand the principles that underlie reality, timeless, eternal principles. And once we use those, we begin to see that we're looking at not just intelligence, as you say, at our level, or even the first 10, 11, 12 dimensions, but we can see beyond that. We can see where these are and how they have positioned themselves. After all, for example, if the body of the galaxy has billions of solar systems, each one is a cell, and within each cell, there are planets orbiting the sun, and they're orbiting along a helical path as the sun and planets move and are orbiting the galaxy, which is exactly the same as our own cell with our own little DNA helix spiraling along, in our cells. So we're looking at a scale there, across scales, basically, so we can see with more clarity that we're actually looking into the body of a galaxy. When we're looking out into space, we're actually looking into the body of an intelligent being, which is beyond our comprehension. Yeah. So we need the respect. We need to do this in the right kind of way. We don't want to do it in rocket ships,
yes,
trying to burst our way through. It's like a rape, a piercing, yeah, like a sword, like forcing a probe into somebody's body. There's that approach. But I don't think that gets very far, and I don't think the galaxy wants that. So it doesn't open itself up and reveal its secrets. So there's an approach involved as well, an ideology, a spiritual aspect to that.
The interesting thing is that you gave a great analogy about piercing. We have to learn to raise our vibratory rate to perceive, utilizing those senses. And what was it in the 70s when the doctor discovered the DNA strand and 2% that he could figure out and the rest he called junk? We realize today it's not junk. It never was junk. It's all part of the self. But when we realize, for instance, since childhood, I've been able to see fourth dimensionally as part of my work as a professional psychic. But the rest of the world doesn't know what I'm seeing. And I know that this is existing. It's just a dimensional different level. All it is my senses are picking this up, seeing it, actually seeing it and feeling it or smelling it or tasting it. It all has a scent or a color or a vibratory rate that they're just not aware of, but exists. So in your studies, I noticed throughout your postings through your Facebook page that you post very famous characters and figures. Can I ask who you were most stunned by, or who was one of your most favorite, please?
Hard to determine. I'm fascinated and have been a musician for decades. So I'm fascinated with musicians and their charts. For example, Paul McCartney's born directly lined up with the galactic center. George Harrison and John Lennon are born at decagon DNA, astrogenetic decagon points, nodes, away from the galactic center. So the three of them are on the same genetic soul group, soul family, and they're lined up, connected to the galactic center. So you can see it in the three charts. Then Ron Howard, who did the movie on the Beatles, he's born the same, a different year, but the same day on the same point as George Harrison. So there's another extension of how that, how that works through these different individuals, but as a soul sort of force. And how, like Ron Howard's case, presented that movie of the Beatles and kept that memory alive. Others are Yusuf Lateef, lived to his 93, I think. and was a, you know, a great jazz musician, but then he went on and became like a world music, very amazingly beautiful and powerful music. Well, he was born directly on one of the nodes as well, linked to the galactic center, one of the astrogenetic angles of the galactic center. Alice Bailey, who wrote the theosophy books in the 1920s and 30s, she was born directly lined up to the galactic center, and she died directly lined up to the galactic center. Krishnamurti, Rudolf Steiner, born on these galactic, these Stargate and solar DNA nodes linked to the galactic center. So it just happens over and over again. I see more and more of these people, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, James Lovelock, Philip K. Dick, you know, these people that are changing the timeline and introducing all these new ideas and concepts are representing their oversoul, their higher self, their monad, their galactic part of themselves. They've awakened to it, and they're bringing that memory or those that information in.
Those skill sets that they've gleaned from those planetary sojourns, those schools, into this to, again, help raise our vibratory rate and consciousness here on the planet. So it's all a consensus, or a symphony.
Absolutely. I just love them all. And what I've learned from it is that now that I've done these charts, like I've done over 1,000, but I've done maybe 200 of these famous charts, is that a contribution can come in any form or any field, anywhere from permaculture to public services, like people involved in hospitals and ambulance rescues and all these types of things. Ah. Then the physics, the arts. Then there's the people like James Lovelock, the biohypothesis, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, better ways of dying and helping people and introducing new ways of like transiting at the end of life. So it's not restricted to like esoteric sciences or spiritual development or disclosure or being interested in ETs or anything like that. It could be any valuable contribution.
Any branch.
Yes. Which is it's an amazing thing.
I was going to ask, literally, have you done, sometimes it's hard, I'm going to say this only because it may bring a little levity here, our own Donald Trump in the U.S., where do those souls in the elite or deep state souls tend to come from?
Well, interestingly enough, Donald Trump is more or less born lined up to the galactic center.
Wow.
Believe it or not. Good. But he has another slight, it's slightly off by a couple of days. When you think of a circle 360 degrees in the zodiac, in the circle there, you have, like, if you want to turn that into percentages, that means like 100%. So if you wanted to term it in percentage-wise, you would have to think that, say, that 3.6 degrees is 1%. So Donald Trump is lined up about 98% directly to the galactic center. But if you're in our solar system and you're looking towards the galactic center, as we can do when we look out at night with the Milky Way, if we turn and look completely in the opposite direction, outwards to the perimeter of the Milky Way galaxy, we'd be looking directly at Orion. And the Orion belt stars, there's three of them there.
Yes.
The three kings in the storyline of Jesus and so forth. So Donald Trump's born directly lined up with those three belt stars in Orion.
And on the note on that, I'm going to just interject, on the note of the three kings or the magi, they were astrologers. So all I can say is they knew, they realized it had been plotted and waited for. So people don't realize this science has been utilized on the planet forever. So with our own current events in the world, we're still coming from all these places or sources in the multiverse, and people still haven't realized it. it's always sad for me. It's a brand new information, a lot of information for people, but the soul has to want to know or want to grow. So any person could also get find out where they're from, so to speak, by having an astrology reading with you or astrology chart done with you, correct?
Well, I've certainly had 99.something% accuracy so far.
Very good. And so they can contact you for, they can look on your website, galacticastrology.com, is that correct?
Galactic Astrology Academy.
Academy, sorry.
I've presented it like that because the astrologer could actually spend like a month going through what I've got there and they could learn how to do it. You know, they could
figure out. Wow.
There's enough information there if you understand astrology.
Yes. So for those astrologers looking for something to extend their vast knowledge, and this is interesting to keep expanding as you did when you first started, this is, you have it for the Galactic Galactic Academy Astrology? Galactic Astrology Academy.
.com, yeah.
.com, thank you. So they're going to find it. And also if they just go to your Facebook page, Graham, and am I saying your last name correctly, Forskett?
Correct.
Okay. Graham, G-R-A-Y-H-A-M, Forskett, last name, F-O-R-S-U-C-T-T. And again, that is galacticastrologyacademy.com. And you can see for yourself, if you'd like to learn as an astrologer, you can expand your knowledge, but you can also have Graham produce a chart for you for clients all over the world. So it is amazing when we look and realize that, again, we feel different, or some of us don't feel like this is always home, but we're here for a duty service. Do the job, I always say. Get here, do your best. Don't compete or compare with someone else. Just do your best. Because it all is intricately related, how this whole evolutionary process happens from this evolutionary journey called ascension. And I know there's some misinformation about that out there, but that happens. But if they use discernment, they'll still keep being guided correctly. People like Elon Musk or Nikola Tesla. Have you done a chart or taken a look at them at all?
I've done Tesla's chart. I just can't remember what it was now, but definitely he was in there. I haven't done Elon Musk's chart. I probably will end up doing it. People are interested.
Now we're just naming famous names. You can do anyone, not just the famous or known. Anyone.
Well, I do the famous charts simply because we know exactly what they've contributed to humanity. So it only takes me a short time to draw up their chart. I don't have to search my way through a number of asteroids to try and figure out what a person's going to be good at. They've already got that, so I can quickly draw up an example chart. And, it's useful, it's helpful. People who have, the average person like ourselves, who have their charts already done, then they read these other charts and they can learn more about themselves. It helps them identify bits within themselves, aspects within themselves, skills within themselves when they see and resonate to some aspect of what I'm putting out there in these posts of these more famous people.
Interesting. I'm going to throw in something about Nibiru, just to see if you have any ideas or thoughts about Nibiru and its impact or its people.
Well, there's just so much out there about it. And, I mean, it's not something I've focused on, so I don't know enough about it to make any real useful comments. I just don't know enough about it. Other than what I've read from different sources. So right. I tend to stay away from those sorts of things where if I can't prove it to myself, I'll leave it for now anyway.
That's me. I'm a hard and fast skeptic. I like to research before I espouse or say anything about it for 5 years at least.
Yes.
Otherwise, I won't say anything.
And exactly.
So, also, I noticed that at this time today, we're going, as I said, from ascension, evolutionary change for the planet, as well as humankind. We're supposed to be in symbiosis, and we're a little off kelter. We can see that with the changes happening, and these are solar activity as well as planetary and solar system activity is going on. And they're all impacting all of us. And for a heightened ability. So we're supposed to take it and be our best each day, not our worst, to reinforce this better vibratory rate, so to speak, that brings us faster to this evolutionary journey. And no one person is better than another, just different. So our job on the planet, I know, is literally to inspire our brothers and sisters. Remember, I didn't say tell them because they're not going to listen, to inspire them by our actions. And our energetic patterns change has an impact on them. I always like to say, like concentric circles when you throw a rock in a pond. That's how we impact not only the planet, but the entire solar system and cosmic systems. So it's important that we realize, as you said, that we're this literally heavenly body and parts of the cells and the structure that go into this whole omniscient being, literally.
That sounds perfect. Sounds great. Exactly.
So I was going to ask one more, what I wanted to share. I do know it's a little trendy and things are still coming around, but you did mention the draconian influence in when they were coming through Tubin, through Egypt. I say Tubin, you say Tubin, it's okay. So with that influence of the draconians, they're pretty heavy-handed with what imprint they've left on the planet as a pattern that we've been dealing with. Do you have anything to note about those that system of those beings that we should be aware of?
Well, as far as I understand it, and I have looked at this for a number of years, the Acturians were instrumental in early continents Lemuria, and before that Mu, M-U, in the Indian Ocean. And their focus was to orchestrate a human genetic soul-infused archetype. They were sort of guiding it and nurturing. And that was basically kept, in a way, in the creation gardens and the pyramid up in Alaska there, and Hawaii and Easter Island, so forth. So that was going on in that part of the world. And then over in Atlantis and Mediterranean area around there, then we had the other groups coming, the Pleiadians, Syrians, and those from Orion. And therefore, you've got the Dracos coming from Thurban through Orion and arriving here. So they were, a number of them were more interested in slave labor and genetic tamperings and so forth. So the Arcturians, as far as I understand it, kept the Lemurians as separate as they could because they could see what was coming. And the genetic tamperings of the Draconians, we would call it soulless clone slave human labor would be. Right. The worst way of saying it. But it was, as you say, you only need 2% of the DNA to actually function, as a person walking around on the planet, not thinking, not having really coherent emotions. So you only need a little bit of the genetic thing functioning there. So there's that side of the evolutionary, which was basically partly in Atlantis and partly in the Sumeria and Iraq in the early times. And then that went up, and they went to Troy, and then of course from Troy they battled the Greeks who had come down from Hyperborea and the Arctic. But the Troy more negative side of the genetics, from Troy they ended up in Rome, and then of course the whole Western storyline comes from there. So there is the need or the requirement for a number of Western, the Western world, as it were, to try and deal with this history, this past that they had part and parcel of. Whereas many of the Pacific nations, and even the Americas, they didn't actually have that back then. Although, of course, later on, the later Atlanteans went to Americas and built over top of some of the earlier structures, and then you've got the Spanish going. So it did actually get there.
I believe it is Casey that states that, I believe it is Casey that states that the later Atlanteans, the more, how can I say it, less passionate or compassionate or less spiritual, more technologically advanced, that 80% of Americans today are reincarnated Atlanteans, some from the spiritual side and some from the techie side.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I find that I get a number of American people asking for charts, and I often see the asteroids Atlantis and Poseidon and another asteroid called Hyperborea in their chart. So they have that kind of genetic thing going on that they're dealing with.
Also for Lemuria, I understand that the tops of Hawaii are the ancient Lemuria, parts of ancient Lemuria, the mountaintops of Lemuria. So, and in Hawaii, there is a beautiful heart-centered, well, there was before the culture was absconded by the new reborn Atlanteans from the U.S. But what happens is it's still there, that heart, yes. Palpable heart chakra that is there for the Hawaiian people and their original culture extending into today. So that's the vestiges of what used to be Lemuria.
That's right. And why the Western world and the Europeans, they want to go to the Pacific. It's paradise.
Yes. In fact, people don't realize 70% of the population of Hawaii, several of the islands, 70% of the entire population is non-Hawaiians. And 70% of Hawaiians have to come to the U.S. mainland to have jobs, work, have a life, because they can't afford it. In fact, one of the highest areas of homelessness is in Hawaii. So It's a sad state. So they just kind of pushed them aside and said, oh, this is beautiful. We'll have it. So a part of that explorer conquering, colonizing quality that came through. And that must have been the draconian influence as well through the Greek, this Western structure you talked about.
Terrible, terrible, isn't it? Just disgusting.
So we go through cycles, so I'm hoping that the Arcturian beautiful benevolent cycle that seeded the Lemurian qualities continues to now have its chance to revitalize the Earth as she goes through her growth, and humans go through their evolution whether they want to or not. And those that don't have free will, they'll just be reborn somewhere else in another dimensional level that they can care for or handle until they want to go further. So it's a beautiful process if people will take it. You've given us some in-depth about the galactic astrology. I want to allow people to understand many of you star seeds have promised a purpose or a mission. And it wasn't just to get the newest iPhone or the newest game. It's to implement yourselves into society where you can inspire and help lift up this evolutionary period and ascension period for humankind. And I don't want them to get lost in what the ascension means compared to evolution. But it's a gradient up. We need to lift. And so, in essence, I want people to really look inside. And if they're drawn to give you, they can email you or contact you through your website. That's galacticastrologyacademy.com. And also check out your Facebook page as well, Graham. And that's GRAYHAM. Second name or last name is Forskutt, FORSCUTT on Facebook. And you can find more information, also get your own charts done, see where you're from. I understand at this time, a lot of the beings from throughout the multiverses are watching humankind go through these changes right now. And the ones that are the team members, or how can I say, the supporters that have the genetic DNA to a certain group, they're like cheerleaders for the ones that have that meeting. So they're kind of saying, oh, look at our group, look at them go. They're trying to help us go on. The Syrian and Lyrian groups are saying, oh, look at this, look at there they are. So ultimately, they're trying to give their impetus. They're not allowed to, how can I say it, dominate. We're supposed to want or be guided or grow to those levels. The work is there. Well, Graham, it's been fascinating and trying to peel through the layers of what is galactic astrology and the star seeds, or those souls that actually incarnated from those different parts of the universes at this time on the planet. And I like when you said on your website to help star seeds remember, and that was excellent, where their origin is from, what their purpose is. So I would like to offer you a gift for your taking your time with me today. My gift is a professional astrologer, so people will learn the difference between that and the storefront gypsy. Graham, I am psychic, clairvoyant, clairaudient, all the clairs, in fact. I see and hear. I just use the tarot, astrology, numerology, palmistry, graphology solely as a third point of reference only, because as I said earlier, I am the biggest skeptic in the world. I was raised by an academic-based family. They didn't discuss this esoteric stuff. So by 9, I was using my little, you know, library card to get all these adult books off the shelf. And I believe study should never stop. You must continue this growth. It only helps all of us, not just one of us or me. All of us are improved by what we do, like I said, the concentric circles. But at this time, at the mini reading on the air, my real reading is an hour, and people can contact me at info@antonialau.org. info@antonialau.org. If they want more information about how they can also have a full reading. But today, I'd just like to cover as my gift back to you. You have free will to apply the information or not. I use all these modalities because I like at least a third point of proof going on. I literally see and hear the person's guide / guardian angel, so to speak, for that divine information or input. In service, and divine service is my purpose. I'm a message bearer, so to speak. But a specific question, not a general, but a specific question, Graham, for me, they're going to tell you the answer, yes or no, or all about how it affects your life. And you have, again, free will to apply the information or not. So today, your question for me would be?
Oh, you've caught me off guard.
I'm sure that's hard to do. It could be career, life itself, friends, family, your own development, whatever you like. They'll tell you the answer to a specific question, and I'll help you phrase it so it's more specific, not general, if you need. Is there a particular paper you might be working on, or you want to see where its acceptance is going to be, or is there a particular work that you're doing or project?
Does it have to be about me specifically? Could I ask?
No, not necessarily. Yes,
you're okay. Oh, that sounds more like it. Okay. It would be very useful and interesting for me to know. Well, first off, there's a new style of music composition unfolding on the planet. It's called ambisonic, so it's this one name.
All right.
It allows composers like myself who use computer software to design and create music, people link the computer to the program. And what will happen is that it allows us composers to position sounds in a complete three-dimensional auric field around the listener.
Oh, wow.
So what that means is like
a holographic field. They're immersed.
Exactly. So we had stereos, and we've got 5 surround and 7 surround, but they're flat, plain kind of thing. In the near future, the composer will be able to say, like, record a bird flying over their head. And when they put it into the program, that bird will fly above the head across the room in your lounge. You'll hear it, and the stream will flow underneath you. So that technology is kind of there at a cutting edge level for the composers. It's kind of clumsy at the moment. It will get better and better. And then the next step is people who have their home audio systems, they will want to have, like a sound system or an addition to their sound system when they can actually hear this. They won't hear it through their stereo speakers, as it were.
Yes.
So for me as a budding composer, I've done a lot of music on computers.
Yes.
I would be really interested to know how that timeline that would be when the actual technology was in the average person's home, so they could make use of that. That would give me something to work with.
Okay, do you want to know, I'm going to be a little more specific on that. Do you want to know if that timeline will happen in the next 2 years, next year, the next 5 years? What, 10 years? What time frame would you like?
Well, it'd be nice to know if it happens within the next 10 years.
Okay, between now and the next 10 years, will that come to pass so that this musical software and technology for holographic kind of a quality of music or 3D music will be instrumental in everyone's home, or so they can really feel and utilize that music style. Please think it to the divine universe as I shuffle as a third point of confirmation only, but not to me or you, but to God, creator, your guide, source, all that there is, in your own way, with love and respect. Will this come to pass between now and the next 10 years? And feel in your heart how happy you'd feel if that did come to pass, friend. Yeah. And whenever your heart says, just please say, stop shuffling.
Stop.
1 second, please. I like the fact that you obviously are reaching, levels of, ahead of us. It's kind of like the inception of, remember we had the gramophone, and first we had symphonies and bands, and then the gramophones, of course, and then we developed, and kids today have no clue what a cassette is. So what ends up happening is we advance with those technologies, and we can hear and perceive music beautifully. But it also is the same thing with color. We see deeper colors now than we did before. Now this, on the path you headed, I'm in shock. I'm excited for you. I'm like everybody's favorite cheerleader. But it shows me here, the answer is yes. That technology, they said, is already around. They say it's in, we know you're talking, dealing with the software. And it shows me, Graham Forskett, if you yourself stay balanced, mind, body, and soul, raising your spiritual awareness to match your high intelligence, your physicality to match, and all three keep balancing up, you will achieve recognition in this field amongst your peer, the public, or the media. And I don't have to kid you or tease you about this, okay? I can only tell you what's real. It's not worth doing that. I don't need to placate anyone. It shows me there's some sort of contract opportunity that could come from this, Graham. I'm not kidding. And it shows me you're showing them the effects, or how it affects the human psyche, soul, and its whole being. And so it does show me there's two paths it's on right now. I think they're kind of juggling a couple of modalities, and then they'll open up. And I also heard the country of Japan, something about the technology there. There's something happening in their science that's being carried over. And they're telling you also, someone that worked with Cladney plates, because they're showing me that, as well in Japan, went onto this system. It reminds me of the same people that did the new, what is that, the thumb drum or something like this. Those new sounds we resonate to. People don't understand. Music has always affected us on a soul level first. That's why we still listen to the symphonies that were written 500 years ago. That's why music affects us in a certain way, possibly raising the vibratory rate or not so much, taking away or detracting from that vibratory rate. So I love that fact that you're focusing, and the importance is great. People don't understand. But I'm shocked to tell you, the answer is yes. It shows me you're planting seeds now for that focus. And they say that if you plug into the divine universe more often, we tend to use left brain, you know how we are. If you plug into that divine in your contemplative opportunities for meditation, they'll download you more input on this, who to connect to, and how to get this off. But it shows me what is now Japan. Hurry up, and they've got a lot of changes happening. So something in the technology field that they're working with over there already that resonates to this. I can only tell you or share what they're showing me. But again, the answer is yes, and you have free will to apply it or not. Thank you so very, very much for coming on today. Again, that was Graham Forskett. Forskett and his website, galacticastrologyacademy.com. And you also may reach me at antonialau.org for more information on all these subjects matters, from mind, body, and soul to the world changes and improvement, all that we're experiencing today. I want to thank you so very much for being with us, Graham.
Thanks for the feeling.
And I do want to wish the audience all the best.